Good morning, everybody. This meeting is called to order. Before proceeding with any business, I believe Mr. Smith has a statement to make.
Thank you, Chairman. A public notice of this meeting containing all items on the proposed agenda has been filed in the office of the Secretary of State as required by Chapter 551 Government Code, referred to as the Open Meetings Act. I would like for this fact to be noted in the official records of the meeting.
Good. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Sure. Thank you, Mr. Smith. We will begin with the Finance Committee today. Commissioner Brown, please call your committee to order.
This morning, staff will provide information in the annual budget workshop. And item number one is the fiscal year 2009 operating and capital budget overview and legislative appropriations request. And Fields, you're going to make the presentation.
Yes, sir. Right. Good morning.
Are you ready?
I'm ready. Okay. Are y'all ready?
I don't know. Somebody's ready. Brown keeps looking at his watch. We haven't even started yet. He's going fishing or something.
Please take your time.
Don't feel pressure.
Yeah, no pressure.
Well, we do have a lot of information to cover today, but before I start, I will say for the record, I am Mary Fields, the Chief Financial Officer, and I am here to present an overview of the 2009 operating and capital budget. Before we get started, I do want to introduce our new budget director, Mr. Lance Goodrum. Lance, could you stand up for a second? Lance actually started with us June 1st, and he's got a big job. He's doing a great job so far. He's put in a lot of time and effort. And in recognizing him, I also want to recognize the budget staff. They just do a splendid job for us. We have a pretty complex budget, and I just want to thank them because all these numbers that we'll be talking about today, they have pulled together for us. And so just want to thank all of them. And just to get started here, for the new commissioner.
Well, Mary, let me see, you gave Lance, 45 days?
Yeah, he jumped right in with the base record.
Lance, you're good. 45 days, you pull his whole budget together.
He started a little bit of it before he got on board, but he's done a lot of work on the base rec and pulling these things together. For the new commissioners, I wanted to let y'all know that this workshop really is designed to get you familiar with the details of the operating budget. We do want you to ask questions as we move along. In August, we'll go over the budget again, obviously, and in the committee meeting on Wednesday, I'll do another overview of this budget. It'll be at a higher level than what we're going to talk about today. And then that Thursday, we'll ask for your approval of the budget. So we'll get started. On the agenda today, I'm going to recap our process for preparing the operating budget. We'll review the financing of the budget. I'll provide some summaries or different cuts and slices of how we look at our budget, review the capital budget, and recap our full-time equivalent, or FTEs, for the agency. We'll review a few key riders that are in our appropriation pattern, and then I'll wrap it up with an LAR update for 10 and 11. So, for the most part, our process for preparing the operating budget is similar to prior years, so I'm just going to touch on a few key points. We do use the appropriations received via the 80th legislature as our starting point, and I'll walk through the details of those appropriations a little later in the presentation. With the appropriations that we receive, we were able to establish the operating budgets for 2009 at pretty close to the 2008 budget, so it's about 100%. No one saw a reduction in 2009 based on what they received in 2008.
And we didn't get any, directive from downtown relative to cuts or?
There were some reductions over the biennium that I'll talk about as we go through the appropriation bill and the discussions there. But the base budget between 2008 and 2009, there really weren't any big changes between the 2 years.
Oh, that's right. So that'd be going into the next round.
We're in the second year of the biennium.
You're right. I'm sorry.
Okay. You know, 08 is pretty similar to 09 as far as starting off.
Yeah, that's right.
We'll see. Yeah. Hopefully we'll be starting out with more next year.
Yeah,
we'll see what happens. So in next, we allocated then the exceptional item amounts that were approved for the biennium to the appropriate division. And then we do a balancing act with some of our funding for the support divisions. And the divisions that support our agency include administrative resources, information technology, human resources, communications, infrastructure, legal, and the executive office. And the divisions that support our agency have to be appropriately balanced between the Fund 9 activities that support our resources and law enforcement and our Fund 64 activities that support state parks. And this balancing is important for us because we're required to use our hunting and fishing license revenue only on hunting and fishing activities. If we fail to do that, they can tell us that we've put our Fund 9 dollars into diversion. So we look very closely at this and make sure that we balance the funding. And we have a methodology to do that. We apply it a little bit different methodology to each division. The general split this time for 09, you know, just based on the general funding for the agency, was 53% was for Fund 9. And 47% was Fund 64. And in reviewing this method, last year we applied the method, and our LBB analysts, we talked about this a little bit in some of the meetings for fiscal year 08. Our LBB analysts took a look at the methodology, and she disagreed a little bit with how we applied some of the funding in the infrastructure division. So this time around, we got that square with her. And this time we basically used that revised approach as we established the funding split between the divisions. So I'm not anticipating any problems with how we split the funding up.
You said 53 and what?
It was 53 and 47. So 53% Fund 9 and 47% Fund 64. And her concern, you know, we're concerned about making sure we get the Fund 9 side of the house appropriate so we don't get into diversion. Tina's concern with the LBB was that we were utilizing exceptional item funds for state parks inappropriately to support administration. So we had to make sure that we squared that up this time around.
So you had to ask the question, specific dollars, or it was a methodology issue she had?
It was an application of the methodology.
Okay.
She disagreed with some of the projects that and how we applied them in the infrastructure division. So we did go back and look at that again, and we've applied still the same methodology, but it was what projects we pulled in and how we applied it. So we've got that square with her.
So, I mean, yeah. Now we have agreement with with LBB?
We do.
Okay.
So there shouldn't be any issues on it.
Okay. Mary, I want to make sure everybody understands the diversion issue just with new commissioners. Does everybody understand that with the federal funds?
No, go ahead.
Will you want to elaborate a little bit on that diversion issue and make sure everybody understands that?
The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service provides us with sport fish and wildlife restoration funds, and they expect us to, those funds come through, and they want us to spend not only those funds only on hunting and fishing and wildlife resource type activities, but also our license revenues that come in are required to be spent only on hunting and fishing activities. If they come in, and they audit us on occasion, and we had an audit from them a couple of years ago, if they find that we have used those dollars elsewhere, like on parks, for example, then they have the ability to actually say we're in diversion, and they can pull the entire grant fund from us. So it's not just a lot of federal funds, you'll see them, they may question a few costs, but they actually have the ability to pull all of the funds back from the agency. So it's something that they take very seriously. They want those funds utilized on the proper purposes. So we do have that methodology just to show them that we're utilizing those funds appropriately.
What about smoky areas where a state park might be also utilized for a special hunting area?
We really don't count that. We have to keep them totally separate. I mean, so
we just don't even go there, to be honest with you, because any shades of it, you know, it's better to keep it as black and white as we can, even though there are some shades of gray on occasion. So we don't try to incorporate any of that. We keep them totally separate.
Are we audited by National Fish and Wildlife?
We're audited by, the Region 2 U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service comes in, and then there's auditors with the Office of Management and Budget that come down and do audits with the feds.
And Mary, what we're talking about is upwards of $25 million in federal funds that could be at risk if we violated those diversion parameters. So just that's why we wanted to just spend a moment on that and make sure everybody understands it, because you'll hear that diversion term quite a bit in terms of our justification for doing something or not doing something. So.
And moving into just the next step then of kind of recapping the process is, as we've done basically in past years, the divisions are given an opportunity to request additional funds. We call them supplementals for their budget if the funds come with their own appropriation authority. And funds that come with their own authority would be things like federal funds, donations, and appropriated receipts. And just to give you an idea of that, like a federal fund, one of the federal fund supplementals, one of the larger ones that we added in this time was the $2.7 million of federal funds for the Coastal Division for the Oyster Disaster Relief Program. So they had some funds that were set aside from the hurricanes, you know, of 2005 to work on Galveston Bay and Sabine Lake.
Rita.
So, you know, that's an idea of a supplemental that we will add into the budget. If it wasn't already calculated in the base federal, we'll add these types of things in. And then appropriated receipts, things like that are like our emoluments from state-owned housing would be an example of, or receipts that we earn from the gift shop. Those are appropriated receipts, things that we earn that aren't necessarily showing up in the bill pattern. So we bring those in as supplementals to the budget.
And wasn't there something that earned that went through this last round, and if we earned more money, was it parks?
Parks, uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, you're going to talk about that?
Yes.
Okay.
So all of the supplementals that were requested by the divisions were reviewed by the budget staff, and then they were approved by executives here, and then we went ahead and added them into the budget. And then the last point about the process here is just that we did budget the capital items at 100%, and we do have the ability to grow those up to 125%. So as additional funds come in, you know, at mid-year, we have the option to grow those capital items. But at this point, they're at 100%. So let's go into how the budget was financed. And we will start with the General Appropriations Act here. Skipped ahead one. You'll recall, I guess, just starting with the GA from the 80th session, the session was a little more complicated because we had several contingent bills. And so we started with the dollar amount, and then there was, you know, as y'all know, House Bill 12 relating to state parks, the data center consolidation, water resource management, and the party vote bill were bills that actually we had contingent funds that were attached to them. And all those bills did pass, as y'all know, last year. So we did add funds in for those to get to our base.
May I ask you a question here on HB 12? How are we treating that with the? I guess I would have to ask, where are we in getting our money?
Talking about the major capital repairs and LBB.
I will be talking a little bit more about that as we move into the presentation, Commissioner Parker. But you know, the sporting goods sales tax dollars and all of that are in our base already. The bond funds that were associated with House Bill 12, we do have the Prop 7 or the Prop 8, the $17 million of Prop 8 funds that, you know, were looking to be issued at the beginning of September, and then there was $27.1 million for state park repairs.
And we're all scheduled.
We're scheduled. In fact, Steve Whiston is meeting with the bond review board today, and I think they had some additional questions about the bonds. And then, you know, they'll move forward, hopefully with approval there, and then we'll look at issuing those bonds, I think, in September. Now,
the review board had questions, or somebody else had questions?
I just know that Steve Whiston told me that he was actually meeting with the bond members of the bond review board today to answer questions. I don't know who specifically was asking those questions.
Okay, yeah.
And then there was a $25 million bond issue for the Battleship Texas, and that is right now pending, pending an independent engineering assessment.
Good.
And that report has been complete, and I think we've prepared a report that we've submitted to the Legislative Budget Board so that they can review that, and then we'll see where we go from there on the Battleship bond. So that's kind of where we're at with House Bill 12. Did I misspeak at all, Scott?
I just heard you, and I came running in if you didn't need support.
Okay. I don't think I said anything wrong. We'll see. So that's where we stand with that.
Just ask you.
Yeah.
We're going to have to work them hard.
I've included in your binder a copy of the appropriation bill pattern for our agency. It's behind the tab entitled Appropriations. And that's really just for your references. We do have 36 specific riders for our agency. That's a pretty sizable amount for us to keep up with. I will be highlighting a few of those key riders later in the presentation. And finally, in the bill, they do put a cap on our FTEs, and we are capped right now at 3,100.1 for this year and for fiscal year 2009.
Where are we on FTEs currently?
We actually have geared up quite a bit this summer with state park seasonals.
Yeah.
So, you know.
So we may be approaching that number.
We're going to be below the cap this year.
Okay.
And I think a part of the reason for that is we did get a lot of additional FTEs in state parks,
mm-hmm.
and those jobs were posted, but some of the jobs were actually filled from within, and so you still have another job to fill to bring in an FTE, and Parks has been doing a really good job at trying to get that dealt with and get us ramped up, I know we won't hit the cap this year, but with the seasonal help coming in, you know, I don't know if maybe some of those will stay on board as we move into 2009. And I don't know. I was looking to see if Walt was here. He may be able to speak better to that. But that's kind of where we're at.
Yeah.
We just so you know, Commissioner, we track that almost on a daily basis. I mean, it does fluctuate pretty, not significantly, but it does fluctuate daily, just as big and as dispersed as we are. But Mary is right. I think the hope is that a lot of these seasonals that are coming in, hopefully there'll be sort of a testing ground, an opportunity to prove themselves, and then we can hire them for full-time jobs after we've had a chance to get to know them, and they've had a chance to get to know the agency, too. So we're guardedly optimistic about that.
Weren't we kind of reaching a maximum in, I guess it would have been '07, fiscal year 07. I seem to recall some sort of issue that we were maxed out on our FTEs, but is that?
We've had a few years where we've gotten close to our FTE cap. Since I've been here for 5 years now, and we've never exceeded the cap
I think the issue was in parks.
Okay.
Maybe that's what you're thinking. I remember it's allotted then by the different within the agency, different divisions. Am I saying that right, Mary? Because remember, we went to specifically and requested more FTEs for the parks.
That's correct.
Where it may have been.
And there were 229 additional FTEs added in this biennium for state parks.
That's specifically right. That answers my question. Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
And Mary, do you want to say anything about that 3,100 and that it's sort of, you know, the LBB looks at that as an average across the 12 months?
They do. Because we do have the seasonal activity with parks in the summer, a lot of agencies just throughout the year, they can never exceed their cap. But because we have the seasonals, they do allow us to, we do a quarterly report on our FTEs, and we're allowed to average that over the year. And as long as our average does not exceed the cap, then we're good. So right now, we're well above 3,100 FTEs, to be honest with you.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
When you average that with the prior, yeah. You know, the prior quarters, mm-hmm. we're still okay. So this was a good session for us, as y'all know, and the next four slides I'm going to go through are just going to highlight the additional funds that we've added to the base. And the first two slides I'm going to review relate really to state parks, and they total over $78 million. The comparisons or the growth that I'm showing here on this slide, we're really comparing the 09 budget back to the 07 budget, which was before we got the exceptional item funding. So when you look at salaries and operating in 07, it's actually grown by $13.2 million in 2009. And then you can see the park capital items have grown by $2.3 million, minor repairs grown by $2.7. The state park, the support costs and the audit recommendations that were applied in the other divisions, this is the 22 FTEs for infrastructure, the 14 additional auditors. There were six staff that went into the park revenue and visitation unit and a couple of FTEs in information technology. That totaled $2.7 million. But all of those things were really to support state parks. In land acquisition, we did receive $4.3 million this year to apply, and then we're carrying forward the unexpended balances from the sale of Eagle Mountain Lake State Park, so, and that was $9.3 million. We have, as I mentioned earlier, Commissioner Parker, we've got the $17 million that we're adding for Prop 8 and the $27.1 for State Park repairs in Prop 4.
Can I stop you there just to kind of follow up and down? John's, okay, so let's say we get approved today, then when do they sell those bonds?
I believe we're looking to issue those in September.
September.
What the goal is.
At that point, then you issue them, you actually have money in the door. Is that when we then go to bid? I mean, or maybe Walt needs to speak to this. I it's dragged out so long, and I know it's just the process, but when can we start going to bid and spending that money, I guess, once we get it in the door?
We need to get the bonds, I think. You know, we need to have them issued and have the funds
right.
available to support any bid or any right. contract that we enter into. So,
well, I understand that.
They're working now to you know, pull those together.
Let's get Scott just to talk about it, because we do have a request for qualifications out right now. Scott, did you hear the question?
I heard the first part, and I came running, so I missed the second.
Okay. Yeah, sorry. What I asked was, and not to put Mary on the spot, I just started realizing that, you know, John had asked the questions about where we were in getting with the bond group. We understand they're meeting today with Steve, and hopefully they'll say okay. She thinks maybe they'll get sold in September. Let's just say they get sold in September, and you should have cash in, let's say, by October 1 or some date. At that point, what happens?
Well, at that point, you go out for request for proposals, which would be about a 30 or 45-day process for them to be able to offer up their...
Are we ready for all of that?
Yes,
I assume
sir.
We've had plenty of time to
put
all that
together. We're ready to move quickly, absolutely.
Okay.
We're prepared and ready to move out there.
Okay.
So the hope would be that we would have the bonds issued, the proposals back in, and be moving forward with the beginning of the design process prior to the legislative session. And some expenditures might be made relative to the issuance of the design contracts. I don't expect a big component of... now, we're talking... Are we talking battleship right now?
No.
We're talking the other...
No, parks. State parks.
Yeah.
No, I understand the battleship's hung up.
Yes,
No, I'm talking about parks.
Yes,
the Proposition 8 and Proposition...
Yes, what we're doing with those is we are bundling those into three large packages.
Good.
You might know historically we've typically run 200 to 400 small projects at a time. And that's resulted in the $20 million to $22 million expenditure curve. This time around, at your urging, Mr. Chairman and others, we've tried to develop a new model. We had 98 projects approved by the LBB this time, so we'd already done a little bit of bundling. Obviously, we didn't go in with a 200 project package. But we've now taken those 98 projects and we've bundled them into relatively large, three big projects and a handful of moderate-sized projects. There are some projects like those out in far west Texas, for example, where you don't have a big group of vendors that are willing to go out there and do projects, where we will still have our force account crews that go out to some of those remote areas and do some projects. So the three big projects, I believe, will take up about 65 of the 90 projects. So there'll be three big projects that really encompass 65 or 70 of the big package. Then there'll be a couple of smaller packages out there, and then there'll be one or two individual projects. But the bottom line is we expect it to be hopefully more expedient in terms of our expenditure. We'll be able to get started quickly on all those projects, and all those papers are prepared and ready to go once we get the approval from the Bond Review Board, which we hope will happen, has already happened for those, and we hope will happen for the battleship today. So, yes, we will be moving forward quickly with those. We are prepared.
And, Scott, we've already sent out a request for qualifications to firms to start, getting in position to be able to
do that. There's really a two-part process to go through, Commissioners. The first is we put out notification that we intend to do this set of issuances, and that was done two and a half months ago, I think. So the construction community as a whole is notified, kind of get ready, there's something coming. Then as soon as we get the approval, we put out the RFPs. Once the RFPs are out there, we go through a selection process.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead.
The reason that I asked the question, and I'll put this on the record too, is because I wanted this great job of what our infrastructure people and Scott has been doing on the record.
Yeah, oh, no, I'm glad you brought it up. Absolutely.
Because they have really been on top of this, and there were some other mitigating circumstances that caused us a little grief, but they did a fine job of working through that, and I just wanted this great job to be on the record of what our people have been doing.
Right. Oh, no, I absolutely agree, and so I was just trying to get the timing pinned down that we're a little closer. Battleship Texas. So you think that'll be approved today?
Yes, sir. No. Let's.
Yeah, I got
Battleship
that.
Texas is not going to be approved
off.
Today.
I think that's.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So we talk about that when that starts happening. Okay. Well, good. Then hopefully your design, and I'm not trying to put you on the spot. So then you do all of that. Your hope is on, let's say, these three bundled.
Yes.
You get your bids back in. You okay? I mean, I understand that takes 6 to 9 days or whatever. You're hoping then to get something started March, April, and this is not to pin you down, so don't just what your best guess is, because I understand you can't,
The construction phase will,
yes.
The construction process will phase in starting right after the first of the year, to be honest.
Oh,
with
okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Okay, good.
Just as an example, I want to make sure you understand this clearly. Part of the bundling is putting together both large, previously what we would have called large and small construction projects, things like constructing a restroom, as well as things like constructing a visitor center, which are kind of the opposite ends of the spectrum. When we bundle those together, as we go through the contracting phase with the construction outfits that we're working with, we're going to work closely with them to make sure that the bathroom doesn't take 4 years because the visitor center might.
Right.
So we obviously don't want to delay the small pieces of the bundled packages so that they all fall out at the same time. It wouldn't be good for us, it wouldn't be good for the customers, and it wouldn't be a good use of state dollars and our limited resources. So I think you're going to see some of the subcomponents, and that's how I would describe them, of the bigger bundles start very quickly
right
towards the end of this year or early next
okay.
year.
Okay, well, that helps me then. Okay.
Now, obviously, as Mr. Parker can attest to, when you're going through the design of a small bathroom, that can happen relatively quickly. When you're going through the design of a multi-million-dollar visitor center, it takes some time longer. So I think the practical rollout of the projects are not going to be that dissimilar from what we've done historically. We're just going to be able to leverage the private sector and some of the bigger firms that have expertise and can mobilize quickly to help us try to expend those funds quicker. But we still hope to get the smaller subcomponents done quickly, and the larger ones may take longer to actually happen.
Okay.
So what you're telling us is we're not going to be towing the battleship down the Houston Ship Channel anytime soon.
Oh, we're moving it to Galveston. You didn't know.
That's
the latest.
I'm going to do what you gentlemen tell me.
I know. Hey, listen, remember I got hammered on the railroad? What do they call me? I've got a nickname. I can't remember what it is. Crash or something. Okay, I'm not about to be sick. Okay. Golly.
Well,
the bandit shit holes or something, right? Yeah, no.
We are over today for the bond review board's last look at the battleship. It's not the final step
right.
in the process, but it is an important step.
Yeah, and on this one, we're not even sure $25 million is even going to get close. I mean, I know our worry's there, so we just have to deal with it. Yeah, it's a good
We point. Believe in the Procyonic report that just came out suggested that if we do this expeditiously, the $25 million will do the trick. If it Obviously, if it drags out with escalating steel costs,
who knows? $25 million to do it and then have it dry docked. I mean, kind of the, what the plan was to get it out of the water to also fix it and get it out of the water.
There are three options on the table. Yes, all of the options are to get it out of the water.
Got to get it out of the water.
Three of the options are right where it sits, and one of the other options is to move it over a few feet.
But Scott, I do want to be clear about the process. We've submitted the engineering study for the Battleship Texas to the LBB,
So
they're reviewing that, not the bond review board. So I just want to be real clear about the Battleship is not going to the bond review board. It's in the hands of LBB to take
right
a look
now.
At that study that Procyonic does. And so they're strictly looking at the
way you have the study in now. Oh. Remember, we hadn't yet. Okay. Battleship Texas is going to be a while, my guess is. Thank you, Mary. Sorry to interrupt, but
not a problem.
But this is obviously where we're at. Well, everybody, you all are, the agency is, but you know, relative to what we worked with the legislature last time, and they were kind enough to help us get these kind of dollars, is then we have to be really, as a commission, and Carter and I, and some of you also have helped, you know, continuing to educate and continue to remind our legislators that this process does take this long. Because I've already gotten questions about it. Well, I was looking out in the parks and said, well, we don't have the money yet, okay, much less have gotten the project started. Oh, how come? You know, so we got to continue.
Dragging your feet.
Yeah, well, I haven't gotten that, but there's kind of a little bit of that, I think, in some of the questioning. And so we're just going to have to be very conscious of how long this will take, understanding the process. That's why I'm asking all of you to really kind of keep your ears tuned on the process, because you are going to get questions. Well, wait a minute, we gave you that money 2 years ago. You know, how come the bathroom isn't done? In Garner State Park or something, okay? And so, you know, we're going to have to really, as we go into this next sort of legislative session, which, remember, starts in January, well, now it's very far away, really spend the time to educate going in and then as we go through the session. Yeah.
And just for clarity, I don't want anybody to go away confused because of my statements here. The process we're in right now, today, Mr. Whiston is over there as we speak, is to get the bonds issued for the major capital repairs for state parks. And assuming that happens, I heard the statement earlier, it might well be in September before the bonds are issued. There is some chance they might be issued late in August. I mean, at direction from leadership here, we are pressing forward as quickly as we can to get the bonds issued. So we might have a bite at the apple prior to September the 1st. That, if we were successful, that, of course, would result in an unspent balances number hitting the books that questions about, because it's going to be a big number. And it's going to hit late in August, and it will have to be UB'd into September. So it's going to fall out in the bookwork somewhere. Somebody's going to see that and go, how come your unexpended balances are so big? So just so that the commission understands, the point is we're moving forward as quickly as we can. We made a conscious decision to get these things issued, and it might, if we're successful in August, result in an unspent balances, a number that's inflated looking on some balance sheet somewhere.
We're actually showing it on the books right now as unexpended balances,
right,
because we did show it on the budget when the Prop 4 bonds were approved by the voters. We did go ahead, even though they weren't issued, we acknowledged them on the budget.
So is that the way? Is that the norm?
We acknowledge them then. You can wait until they're issued. The clock is not going to start ticking on them until they're actually issued. We have 5 years from that point in time to expend. So.
And just so you know, we, for the last 4 or 5 years, have used commercial paper on these bonds. We used to just take all the bonds down at once. And, of course, then you had the issue of the money was just sitting there.
Yeah.
And the way we're doing it now is similar to the private sector. So we draw the bonds down as we use them.
Okay.
There's an obvious financial advantage that I'm sure you're all aware of.
But do we control that as much?
Yes, we can control that.
We can't.
Yeah, you've got to go through requests with the bond board or whatever.
We've already done that, though. We've been doing it for several years. This isn't something new. I just wanted you to understand that the model changed about 4 years ago, I believe, so that we started using commercial paper because it was more advantageous to the agency and to the state of Texas.
Okay, gotcha. Okay.
Scott, is it fair to add, though, I think if commissioners get questioned about, you know, the new investments in parks, that, you know, certainly can talk about all the staffing that's going on and all of the equipment, the capital equipment that have been purchased on site and all the minor repairs that are underway at parks. So, you know, there is a significant amount of funds that are being invested and have been utilized very actively and aggressively. It's just been waiting on this one component. So just want to make sure everybody has those talking points.
You know, Carter, it might be advantageous to us for Scott to ask Steve Wiston. Steve Wiston printed up a marvelous timeline that we were using back in the late spring when this deadline came down, and everybody said, "Hey, we got to get this this deal going, or we're going to be way into the next session of the legislature." But it might be a good idea to get each one of us that deadline. That we did, in fact, make that first cut that is going to allow us to begin to sell those bonds, begin to mark them up in late August.
I'd be glad to forward that to everyone.
Not all of them, but and I can't tell you which ones, but some of them, there's a possibility that we can get some of them started in late August. And then, of course, the rest of them will roll over in September, which will make us look like next year that we didn't sell all of them last year. I know that sounds a little confusing, but that's the way it is.
Mm-hmm. I'll be glad to get the timeline out.
Yeah,
if I might take 30 more seconds of your valuable time, folks, I think it's important. You know, we were obviously in difficult times with state parks, and we were very appreciative of what the legislature did for us last session. And the fact is that the cycle for issuing these bonds was a little bit protracted from what it normally has been, and it was the result of what were really pretty reasonable expectations of the legislature for us to do some good due diligence up front. And so, yes, the answer is we're getting these bonds issued later than we would have historically, but we're doing that in the wake of a significant cash infusion to the State Parks Division, and there were some strings attached there, which in my humble opinion were not all that unreasonable. They wanted to be sure we had a business plan. They wanted to be sure that we had an outside consultant that took a look at our operations and our business plan to make sure that it was an effective and reasonable way to spend the money. And so we, with all respect and actually with an acknowledgement of the importance of that, have done all those things that the legislature asked us to do. And it just resulted in the bonds getting issued a little bit later. So we have continued, at least from the staff level, to go downtown and say thank you for that. We appreciate that. Good. We understand the restrictions that were placed on us, and we've gotten them done. We're looking forward to doing a good job with this money.
Well said.
Yeah, because we definitely want to keep this momentum going.
This is the time I think to be, you know, have an upbeat year and show people what we're doing with the money after having a couple of years of folks like Walt having to go around the state and demonstrate what dire straits we were in.
I agree. Well, we're not going to do that anymore, are we? We're going
to
get
to
go back.
Not to say we don't need more money. But
no, we need more money. No, we want to keep that momentum going, but the beauty of it is hopefully we can start showing, as the legislature period goes through, maybe some areas where we've broken some ground on some things, whether even it's just a restroom. I mean, exactly. That's my point. Yeah.
I'd be glad to answer more questions.
No, appreciate it, Scott. Mary, sorry to interrupt your presentation, but, you know, might as well get this talked about. I mean, we all know how much time we all spent last legislature. Yeah.
Sure. Well, I will go ahead then and move into the last couple of slides on the additions, and these are for the other areas of the agency outside of state parks, and they total $43 million. The first one is $9.55 million that went to local parks, and that was basically to bring them back to the level that they were at in previous years at $15.5 million. Okay. We did add another $7.4 million for the East Texas Fish Hatchery. So over the biennium, there was a total of $12.3 million. Law enforcement received about $850,000 to put 15 additional wardens in place for the border security, and then another $1 million for game warden operations. We did receive an additional $1.5 million to cover the gap between our cost to provide the data center services versus the price that we paid DIR for IBM to provide our services. We did add then just a couple of small amounts there, $178,000 for Senate Bill 3, Water Resources, and $56,000 to implement the party vote bill. And then the last item there is our Rider 27 allows us, as we collect additional revenue, to bring that into the budget. And this go-around, we did go ahead and add $580,000 into the budget now, basically, to meet budget demand. And that demand really came about as a result of the compensation package that we put in place just recently for roughly 60% of our employees, and that was to compensate some of the lower paid positions and also to retain and recruit some of the positions that we have a lot of turnover or issues trying to fill those positions. So these funds kind of help fill that additional funding that was needed for those salary equity adjustments that we made. As I move into the next slide, there are additional pay raises, and these are state pay raises that were given by the legislature for all state employees. And so we had a 2% in 2008, and we got another 2% coming up here in 2009. And then the Schedule C raises are for our law enforcement. So the total of all of the salary increases that were put in place by the legislature is $5.7 million. We do have proceeds from the sale of the Game Warden Academy of $3.7 million. We are not UBing those as land sale proceeds. We're going to UB them as part of the construction project that's being put in place to construct the new academy. And then finally, we have the coastal erosion, $12.5 million for that project, and we'll be transferring that to the GLO, General Land Office.
And Mary, why don't you explain UB just so people understand what you have to do moving from one fiscal year to the next and how that works.
UB stands for unexpended balances. So there are certain categories of appropriation that they do allow us to carry forward balances of funding. So in this case, most of the time when we're carrying forward, it's in the capital budget items of construction, land acquisition, actually all capital items. You can move forward from one year to the next within a biennium. The legislature has to give you authority to move it from one biennium to the next. So these unexpended balances are basically funds we earned, like we sold the Game Warden Academy this year. We're not spending all those dollars this year. We're going to start spending them more next year, so we're just carrying them forward.
Good. Does everybody understand the reason? Because Member Scott alluded to that. If we sold those bonds in August, because of September, but hadn't spent any of that money, then you have to carry it over. And we will get questioned about that, because the legislature does not like unexpended dollars, particularly if they've been appropriated and you haven't spent them in the year that they thought you were going to spend them.
That's correct.
It is primary capital projects, but there's going to be some frustration, I believe, in the legislature relative to, you know, really these dollars from their point of view were appropriated to us, you know, when we go in January of 2009, 2 years ago. I mean, that's the way they think, or a year and a half ago. We'll have to explain some of that, because they will be on those line items. Yeah, go ahead, sorry.
And one thing I will add to that, Chairman Holt, is we do have 5 years to spend the dollars on construction projects. So if you load them all in the first year, you are going to have unexpended balances that you can carry forward for a 5-year period. So some of that should be expected. But people do get confused about it if it's all loaded up front and then you're carrying it forward, because you encumber it in a contract, so you have to show it, but you're expending it over a period of time.
So
we're not the only agency that's doing that, though.
No.
Oh, no, no.
Every agency.
Right.
But every agency also has to go down there to explain it.
Yes, that's right. We're not the only. I'm not saying we're being picked on. I'm just saying we will get questions about it. Absolutely.
Right. Yeah. Mary, when a budget is presented to somebody in the legislature, are these things footnoted and highlighted to say, even though it was appropriated 2 years ago, the bonds weren't sold till September of 08, and construction will start by first quarter of 09. Are they highlighted in any way to explain why we have such large numbers there?
They're not really. I mean, as far as what we're able to present, I mean, there's no special place to footnote these unexpended balances, but we do have the opportunity when we make our presentations to the various committees and during our hearing for our legislative appropriation requests and that sort of thing, we can discuss it then and tell them what we're doing. But typically, I'm not aware of any place where we publicly footnote unexpended balances, but we can explain it as we're asked questions.
They will ask.
Sure. Well, and then you'll have certain ones that understand and certain don't. Depends on their staff and how kind of up to speed they are, to be fair. I mean, that's just so there's a certain leadership individuals in their staff that we spend a lot of time with to make sure they understand it.
And that kind of wraps up the addition part. There were some reductions at this session, and I'll just highlight those real quickly here. As you're all aware, we did transfer the 18 historic sites, so we did have a reduction of $2.9 million relating to those sites. And we're no longer operating the railroad, so that $600,000 was basically in there if we were going to operate it as a static display. So that was reduced. In Rider 27 on the Fund 64 side of the house, they did include $9 million of appropriation for revenues that we had not collected yet. And again, this go-around, we've got some history with how many dollars we will collect of the $9 million. So we did go ahead and budget roughly half of the $9 million up front. And as we move into the year and do our finding of fact with the controller and earn additional revenue, we'll go ahead and budget the remaining portion of that $9 million, whatever that amount might be. So that it's listed as a reduction because we did reduce the $9 million down to what we actually loaded in the budget. And then finally, there's an administrative reduction, and this was a reduction that was applied against all against most state agencies, not all, I should say most. And we were one of the agencies that had an administrative reduction, and that had originally shown up as an additional strategy, and they ended up just rolling that into our pattern. So, moving into just basically, I want to crosswalk our budget from the General Appropriations Act to what our final budget amount is. And I looked at that and I caught a typo at the bottom. I guess it should say 2009 budget, so excuse that. At the bottom of the slide there, it's $402.9 million. So we start with $251.5 million. All of those contingent bills that we talked about added $28.7 million. The salary increases were 5.7. Federal funds that we've added above what they showed in the base are at 7.8 million. And as y'all know, we'll continue to add to the budget federal funds and grants as they are received throughout the year. So that amount will grow. And then we've talked about this UB, but this is the land acquisition component of that UB is the 9.3 million. And then we've got the construction of the UB, which is the remainder of that 76 million. And I've got a breakout of that in a different slide. Our benefits and that basically is paid through our employees' retirement system, and then our benefit replacement pay totals $39 million. And then there were other adjustments of $6 million. And the lion's share of that reduction relates to that Rider 27 we just talked about, the Fund 64 component of that. So that takes our budget to the 402.9. And This is just a view of our method of finance, and just in looking at this slide, I think it's important to note that we earn 42% of the funding for our budget. If you look at our account 9, the Game, Fish, and Water Safety Fund at 31%, and then the Fund 64, our state park revenues, at 11%, that's the 42 that I'm talking about. The remaining funding is coming from general revenue. They're at 22%. The other general revenue dedicated accounts are at 4%. The largest one there is the local parks fund. the other section includes the appropriated receipts and other categories. The largest part of that is $12 million of land sale proceeds, and that's the 3.7 from the Academy and the Eagle Mountain Lake. Federal funds are at 15%, and then wrapping it up with the bonds there at 13%. And the bonds are, we've got basically the Prop 4, the Prop 8, and then some Prop 8 bonds that were issued back in 06 that were being forward. So that takes care of the financing of the budget. Let's move into kind of looking at a few of the different types of summaries. This first one here gives a broad...
Mary, hold on for 1 second.
Yes.
In looking at 09 in comparison to 08, in 08 we already had those bonds on the books, is that correct?
We did, and I don't know that we should have, to be honest with you. At the time when they were approved by the voters, I didn't realize that we were going to get hung up with the Rider 30 business plan, and I really expected them to be issued in 08. So we did add them into the 08 budget. So and then they possibly still could get, I guess, issued in 08. As Scott said, it could happen toward the end of this fiscal year.
But if we carried them for 1 year and then we still hadn't spent them, how do we, what's the mechanism that you don't show that they're carried over in twice the amount? For example, if we carried over $50 million, from 07 to 08, and we still haven't spent it, then that wouldn't that show that now we have $100 million that we haven't spent?
No.
How do you adjust for that then?
Well,
if you never spent them.
You start each year, as I was showing just a minute ago, you start each year with your appropriation for the current year.
Okay.
And so those bonds weren't shown that, you know, a portion of them were actually allocated to us in 09, and a portion of them were allocated in 08. So, like on the Prop 4 bonds, the $27 million part of it for state park repairs, the way they split that out in the bill pattern, they showed $2 million of it in 08 and $25 million of it in 09.
Okay.
So, the point is, the clock doesn't really start ticking on the 5 years we have to expend the funds until the bonds are issued. And once they're issued, and I believe that's correct, I mean, so once they're issued, then we start that clock ticking. So, but we don't double count them because we're starting each year kind of fresh.
Yeah.
So we know that we had them over there, so we're not going to count them again in the current year.
Yeah, Tony, just so you know, I mean, the requirement is, and certainly we look back at what, but you really do start supposedly every year with a blank piece of paper and you build the budget from scratch.
Okay.
So the unexpended balances would just stay the same,
amount.
Going
okay.
over to the next year if you haven't spent any of them.
Okay.
So let's see. Moving into just this summary here, we're looking at the budget by object of expense, and I've included just a percent of total to give you a sense or perspective on the size of each category. In looking at this, our salaries and benefits are at about about 45% of our budget, and this has typically been more like 50 to 60% of our budget because the capital category is so high. It's kind of, when you're doing this as a percent of total, it's brought it down a little bit. In looking at the operating component, I looked kind of back at last year. We've grown that operating by just roughly about 1%, so there hasn't been a lot of growth in the operating category. And then I'll just mention the capital budget and related debt services, you know, 27% of our budget as we move ahead. the next slide, the next two slides actually just highlight our budget by division. And you see the division's budgets there in millions, and again, the percent of total. And this is really how the agency operates with our budgets. Each division has a detailed budget that they manage, and so we give them this, and they go out and manage it, divide it out among their field offices and as they deem appropriate. And I'm not going to cover all the numbers on this slide, but I will say that the administrative divisions, if you add those all together combined, they're less than 10% of our total budget. So we continue to run pretty tight on our administration for an organization of this size. And then I do want to mention in your binder, there's a budget summaries tab. And there are a couple of handouts in there. In Exhibit B in there, I really like that summary because it shows kind of a blend of what of the two different pieces we just talked about. It shows by division, by object of expense. So you get a better sense of really where the money went and for what purpose. In an operational capacity here at the agency.
And help me just to give you an example on Exhibit B. It says coastal fisheries, $9.2 million for salaries and others, and that's salary and benefits, I would assume, primarily. So operating then would be what it takes to operate. Of course, there are, you know, vehicles, all of that kind of thing, but also the buildings that are assigned to them.
Rent,
that kind of
it's operational expenses, utilities, fuel, rent, consumable supplies, travel, you know, all those types of expenses are in operating.
Okay.
The benefits are actually shown in a separate category.
Oh, I see, I did see them over there.
And we typically do that, Chairman, because those benefits are really... They're applied through the employee retirement system. They are part of our operating budget, but they really don't show up in the appropriation bill for Parks and Wildlife.
So
we show them separate.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Mary?
Yes, sir.
What is this category called department-wide?
We're going to talk about department-wide.
Well,
I have a
big chunk of change, isn't it?
It is a big chunk of change, and I have a slide that follows this that will detail that out, and we can talk about it.
Asking those hard questions.
Yeah, it is a big chunk of money, and basically department-wide supports a lot of our statewide operations, but we'll talk about that in just a minute. The other thing I wanted to mention while we're in this tab here, the budget summaries, is The first exhibit, Exhibit A, is shown. We've got 28 strategies, so I didn't attempt to show, you know, all of our strategy budgets on slides. But this is how the legislature views us. When they view Parks and Wildlife, they don't look at the coastal division or the inland division. They look at these strategies of wildlife conservation, hunting and fishing, recreation, those types of activities. So. Just wanted to lay out the budget in that way, too, because that's how our legislators view us. And then at the bottom, there is a method of finance component, and that's basically that pie chart we just looked at. Those are the actual numbers for our method of financing for the agency. And now, Commissioner Bivens, we will move into department-wide. And basically, these are the components. We're looking at $7.6 million of debt service, and those are our revenue bonds, the hatchery bonds, and then the old revenue bonds that actually have been closed, but we still pay debt service on them. The construction and capital items, those are primarily Fund 9 dollars that have not been distributed. We will actually do construction projects for wildlife and inland coastal, but we haven't spread that out among the divisions yet, so it's just in a holding pattern. The remaining categories are payments to license agents. The $3 million is roughly what we pay Verizon for their services and our license system. State Office of Risk Management, that's our workers' compensation type expenses that are charged to us. And then there's various Article 9 provisions, fleet. That ACP stands for, it's running out of room on the slide, that's Airport Commerce Park, and that's our new new lease that we have with some of our Austin staff that stay there. And then general budget is some of the funds that are being held just for discretionary purposes as needed as we move into the year. We are still working on updating our new financial system, and that's the Oracle project. And then finally, claims and settlements. We do hold roughly $200,000 aside each year for claims. I usually talk with Ann Bright and see if we have any big, you know, claims or settlements that she's aware of, but that's what we usually budget there. So that is the department-wide budget. Are there any questions on that?
On the Oracle project?
Yes.
How's that going, this process?
It's moving. It is moving along. We are now looking to. You really can only bring the financial system up on a fiscal year. It's best to bring it up at the beginning of a fiscal year. And we are not going to make it this fiscal year, but we will bring it up the beginning of fiscal year 2010. So about a year from now, we'll bring it up. But
what do you mean bring it up? I'm sorry.
I mean put it in place.
You mean for the financials or for the financial. Overall?
I'm talking about just the financial system.
Okay.
This is not the parks system. This is just our financial system. What we call, it's going to be called the business information system.
Okay.
Biz.
Okay.
So right now we use Oracle Financials as our base.
Right.
And what we're doing is a re-implementation of Oracle. And so we're updating and we're basically getting the modules within the Oracle financial system to talk better and to support our agency better. So we will bring that up on the fiscal year, and we're not ready to bring it up this fiscal year, but we will next fiscal year. And it actually, components of it are in test mode now, so it's moving along fairly well and should be really pretty much built and ready to go by the time the session starts. And then we'll have sufficient time to do training and that sort of thing before we actually bring the system up.
And overall, and I'm asking a question, but went back to this data center consolidation because I kind of skipped over it. How is all that going? Now, that's a consolidation across statewide agencies.
Yes, it
is. Which, if I remember, we were operating.
Well, we were.
I won't use the term cheaper, less expensive, more efficiently. Than others, and we actually got some money from the legislature to offset that. Is that
yes,
because
sir,
our costs
did.
Actually were going to go up? Am I saying that correctly? Help me if I'm saying anything incorrect.
No, you are
okay.
Correct. Our costs for the data center consolidation are at $2.7 million per year. They
okay.
had to give us $1.5 million for us to pay the $2.7.
Yeah, that
so
was
we
okay.
were operating at a much smaller
right.
amount when we were doing it on our own.
Okay.
The idea is over time there will be some economy of scale.
Or because all agencies are going on one.
It's all on one,
okay.
And some of the larger agencies than us actually had savings, but
mm-hmm.
there were a few agencies where it was a cost. But overall, throughout the state, it's supposed to be a savings for the entire state.
How's it doing operationally? I don't know if that should ask you or somebody else. Maybe
George,
help us where
George Rios would probably be a more appropriate person to respond to it, but I guess what I can say about it is we are continuing to work with DIR and IBM on our costs. We will have when we talk about exceptional mm-hmm. items here in a little while for LAR, we will have a line item to, again, true up our expenses
right.
for data center consolidation because we have to pay that contract.
Right.
But there are some additional costs that haven't been appropriated to us yet. And so
are these costs that nobody was aware of would happen? I mean, help me. I know I shouldn't be putting you on the spot. I know we know with George, but
I just know that some of the costs have been higher than what was originally
yeah,
anticipated
okay.
when the budgets were established.
Okay.
And I mean, there's a difference between if you're adding more databases, if you're making a growth within the agency,
right.
a conscious decision to grow,
mm-hmm.
then you know the agency should pay for it. But if it's just additional costs for
because,
the same services,
yeah.
then you know that should be covered. I think. You know, by the state, they are having all the state agencies, though, ask for these additional funds as an exceptional item.
So people, we're not the
only one. We're all in the same boat.
Everybody's running into the same issues. Okay.
All in the same boat again, and so we are looking at additional costs there. Once again, and honestly, I don't have numbers on that yet, but I have been working with George and Carter. I know you've been involved.
Yeah, let me jump in a little bit. Just to be honest, it's been a little tumultuous as they've rolled it out in terms of the quality of customer service and then also the billing for the services that we're having to pay for. I mean, they are 3 to 4, and not too long ago, we're 6 months behind schedule. So I think we're struggling with being able to forecast the future costs of this model, and that's a frustration that I think a lot of agencies share. Now, the IR has been working with this. They'll meet with us every time we have an issue with respect to their services. But to be fair, I think they're going to have some time before they're able to work out what are fairly significant kinks in the system right now.
It was going to be ongoing for a while.
And yeah, I think so.
And there wasn't a set amount of dollars, so you do have to pay somebody, the state, ourselves, whoever, are going to have to pay for these additional costs. So this will be a request going into the legislature, as you say, probably from all agencies at some level.
There are several, there are several agencies, and we were trying really to get DIR to carry that ball for the additional cost part
that
we weren't really responsible for because of growth. But
right.
We weren't successful in making that happen.
Do we benchmark? We are talking to other agencies, and and they're indicating to us they're having the same kinds of issues.
There is
financial and operational.
Yes, okay. And to DIR's credit, they have established a formal leadership council of executives from all of the 27 participating agencies, we get together periodically to talk about these issues and benchmark where we've been and where they are now with respect to different metrics for customer satisfaction and quality of service and improvements on billing and things like that. And so there's a lot of information sharing there.
Gotcha.
They also had I attended a CFO meeting. I mean, they are really good about pulling meetings together at Carter's level for CFOs that are dealing with LAR issues, and then for the information resource managers like George.
Okay.
So they're all getting together and they are working on it. It's just a huge
problem. So they're gathering data. In other words, the point is, by the time the legislature shows up in January, this shouldn't be a surprise.
No, sir.
I'm talking about the people, certainly, at the different staff levels. Okay.
And will this include escalating costs, such as fuel and other items?
Yeah, I don't think there's really any fuel costs built into this. This is simply paying for, managing all of our data, storing that data, managing it, providing customer service.
Then as a separate item.
You're talking about as a budget overall.
We're going to talk about...
When we get to, Commissioner, I'm going to be covering, as soon as we're done with the budget, I'm going to cover the legislative appropriation request.
That's
where
it'll
be. We're going to cover those exceptional items.
Okay.
And there are a couple of items that do relate to the increase in operational cost of fuel and the utilities. But I've got a list of those here a little bit later in the presentation. We'll review those together. Okay?
My age, I can remember when game wardens had $35 a month for gasoline.
I won't even pay for one truckload now. Well, one fill-up.
And when Mr. Temple used to call and see if I could round up a little more gas money for the game warden.
Yeah, things have changed, that's for sure.
Okay. I'll go ahead and move into just the capital budget here. And in this slide, I basically just provided an overview of our capital budget by category. And the first column that you're looking at there is basically the base amounts that were included in the appropriation bill for capital. The Rider 20 column, this rider basically allows us to grow our capital items for federal or other funds that are designated for a specific capital purpose. So we have a couple of issues. There's a fire truck, I think, that was federal funds that was designated, so we're able to add some capital authority there and some other items. And then the unexpended balances are basically the balances we're bringing forward from 2008. and so then you've got the total capital budget there at $101.1 million. And moving into just looking at our full-time equivalents, our FTEs, just a quick look here. Basically, the gold text on the slide shows our cap, our FTE cap amount. We talked about this a little earlier. So it's at 3,100.1. It's the same as it was in 08. We do budget above the cap, and you can see in the white there that we budgeted a couple more FTEs in 09 than we did in 08. And the reason we budget above the cap is we don't keep all of our positions filled, you know, throughout the year. So having some additional positions allows us to post jobs and continue to move ahead and try to get to that cap level. So we budget above it. And we'll watch that closely as the year progresses, particularly now that we're in the second year of all the new FTEs that we've we have. We'll watch that, make sure we don't exceed it overall. And then just looking at the FTEs kind of funded by division here, there's the next couple of slides. It's when you look at them on the second slide here, it's not surprising that, you know, Parks is almost 40% of our FTEs. Law enforcement is coming in at close to 20% of our FTEs. If you combine the resource divisions, you're looking at about a third of our FTEs. And then wrapping it up, there's about 12% that's left that's basically the administrative type divisions and communications. So that's kind of a quick look at the FTEs. Next, I want to cover some of the key riders, and we do have several of them. I'm not going to talk about each and every one of these, but I do want to just talk about them generally. I'm starting off here by listing the audit-related riders. And as Scott said earlier, when we received the additional appropriations for the biennium, we did receive several directives on how the money could be spent, as well as expectations that we dealt with some of the audit recommendations that were out there. And so there were expectations that we would perform studies and do quarterly and annual reports and that sort of thing, submitting them to the oversight agencies. And in 2008, we really completed several of the plans and studies. We have submitted several reports. I think there's a couple of studies still outstanding for 2009 that we need to submit. And, you know, basically each one of these riders are really lengthy, and they have several requirements. And again, I'm not going to cover all the details, but I will say that the actual text of the riders is in that appropriation, you know, bill that we talked about earlier. So if you're just curious and want to read, you know, a paragraph this long, you can take a look at each of them in the back. The next slide highlight some of the other key riders for the agency. Rider 19 allows us to carry forward those unexpended balances from the sale of the academy, and it directs us to use those proceeds on the new academy, which of course we're doing. Rider 20, I just talked about, relating to the capital budget, allows us to grow those items when for federal and interlocal, those types of funds, if it's specified for it, with the exception of land acquisition on that rider. Rider 22 appropriates all balances and revenues from the sale of our lands, TPWD lands, to us. Again, it specifies the proceeds of the academy. It also says that the estimated $2.1 million of proceeds from other land sales be used only to acquire adjacent tracts in holdings and for improvements or repairs at state parks. Rider 23 requires us to implement recommendations provided from the LBB during a review they did last year. Rider 24 requires us to collect usage statistics, such as the number of hours of operation on all of our major equipment, and report that to the LBB and the governor's office no later than October 1st of the year for the preceding fiscal year. And then that Rider 34, really, we implemented that in 08. That was the $16.7 million of grants for specific parks, local parks. Finally, there were a few key Article 9 riders that include details on the additional appropriations. We've really touched on all of these as we've walked through the presentation. So I'm not going to go into any more detail there. That's just the actual sections of the bill that allowed us to do those things. And that concludes my presentation for the budget portion. If there aren't any further questions on that, or if there are, let's cover them here. Otherwise, we'll go ahead and move into the 10 and 11 legislative appropriation request update.
Any questions on the budget side?
Okay. And on this update today, I just want to remind you of a few ground rules for building the LAR, and then we're going to cover the exceptional item list, Commissioner Parker, you were alluding to earlier, and then talk a little bit about the 10% reductions that are we'll be putting on a schedule within the LAR this time. So the baseline request for fiscal year 10 and 11 is based on our projected expenses for 2008 and our 2009 budget. So that establishes our base budget. And we are held to that, and this time we'll be held to 100% of the base. Any amounts that we need above that base, we have to request as exceptional items. And we've got a list of items that we're looking at.
But you might explain in the past how we've actually been requested all agencies to be below at times the base. You know where you have to start. Actually, go ahead.
Yes. What they've done this time that is different is in the past two sessions, last session, they established our base, and then they said, we want you to submit your request for the next 2 years at 90% of your base. Mm-hmm. So they basically gave us a cut.
Yeah, to start with. I mean, that's where you had to start
with. And then most agencies, what they did is they did some type of an across-the-board reduction, and then the first item in their exceptional item list was restore
the
that 10% that we just took out of our request. So in the biennium before that, it was a 5% reduction.
Yeah, no, yeah.
So
right.
they've been looking at reductions every time. What they did differently this time is they did go ahead and fund us at the 100%, but they still want to see a schedule of, you know, if you were going to cut by 10%, what would you cut? And that's what the supplemental schedule is.
Okay.
And that's the third bullet here. So we will have a schedule of a 10% reduction. And they did tell us to really target specific programs. They didn't want to see an across-the-board reduction.
Okay.
And they said, you know, if agencies do that, their LBB analyst has the ability to look at it and say, do it again. You know? So
okay.
They don't.
You might as well,
do it right the first
yeah.
time. So,
yeah. Okay.
So we are. You know, I've got a slide that gives you kind of an idea of what the 10% reduction is going to look like, and we are looking at some programs right now. But we're kind of still framing that out. So I'm not really going to talk about any specific programs that we're looking at putting on the schedule. But I will. I'll just go ahead and jump ahead to it and just show you kind of since we're talking about it. And I want to just say that these amounts are estimated. We do our base reconciliation, and the Legislative Budget Board has to review that and kind of bless it for us. And once they approve it, then we really know what our base is. They haven't actually given us that approval yet. So what I'm looking at is kind of what we provided to them, but it hasn't been approved. So we're looking at 10% of our amounts, and it's basically general revenue, dedicated, any GR-related accounts, basically. So we're looking at an annual amount here for our GR-dedicated accounts, which is our Fund 9, 64, you know, the local parks, those sorts of funds. We're looking at a $16.3 million. Annual reduction, and for just pure GR Fund 1, we're looking at $7.2 million for an annual estimated amount here of $23.5 million. So, and I suspect that actually these totals could go down a little bit. If she pulls some of the amounts, if the LBB pulls some of the amounts out of our base rec, that'll obviously take our total down, so 10% will be less. So this is, if anything, it may be a high amount. It is an estimate, and that's an annual. We are looking at some programs to put on the schedule. Now I'm going to back up now to exceptional items. And
Mary, can I ask a question? On this 10% reduction, and are those prioritized, or is it just a 10% as a block, or saying 10%, but if it had to be 5% or 7%? Is there a priority to this?
I believe there is a priority. You lay them out, you know, in priority order on the schedule, and then they'll review it, and, you know, basically, if they see something, if they see something they want to take out, they'll take it out before the LBB puts their base bill out for the legislature. Because we do our request, and then the Legislative Budget Board builds the bill that actually starts out the legislative process. So
from all of these,
they'll gather up all of our requests, and they'll look at this schedule, and if they decide they like one of the programs we put on the list, they'll cut it out, and so then we'll deal with that when we move into the session. So let's talk a little bit about the exceptional items. I haven't included dollar amounts on this because we're really still roughing out the details of these exceptional items. The first one here is the compensation package for the agency, and we talked a little bit about that earlier. This exceptional item is designed to compensate the remaining positions that do still need an equity adjustment, and then it will also deal with some of the compression issues that occur. If you have certain positions that you move up, sometimes they'll bump up against another position that maybe wasn't on the equity list, but you would have an issue between your positions that you have to deal with. And then also basically activating a merit program for the agency. So that's kind of what the first exceptional item is. The second one is to continue our capital repair program for all of our TPWD facilities. The third item is for land acquisition and development to improve access to the outdoors, as we've laid out in our land and water conservation plan. The fourth item is to deal with those increased operational costs, such as the fuel and utility expenses that we were talking about, and to enhance or add some programs. For the first one is for Fund 9, and number 5 will be the Fund 64 part of that those exceptional items. The sixth item is to support our information technology initiatives and to deal with those increasing data center consolidation costs that we talked about just a little bit earlier. And finally, the seventh item is to increase park visitation and licenses sold through marketing efforts and to outreach to our underserved demographics that are primarily in our urban areas. So those are the items. Are there any questions or comments from the commission on that? Because between now and the next meeting, we will pull these out. It's due on the 20th, so that Wednesday when we meet, the LAR is due. So if there are any comments on these items, even if you don't have one maybe right now, please feel free to contact me or Carter or Gene. And as we rough these out,
I'm assuming we don't want to go in with 50 exceptional items.
That's correct.
I
really encourage. We had a couple of sessions ago. We had 17, and that was just it's just too many. I mean, you can't keep when you get downtown and you're talking to the legislators and you're in these hearings, you don't usually have a lot of time to present, and you just can't cover 17 of them. You can't hold their attention. So you usually end up talking about, you know, the top 5 or top 7. Last time we ran with 7,
right,
and we were pretty successful in that. I think we got almost every one of them. So it's just a strategic thing. There's no limit. I mean, you can ask for 50 if you want, but the idea is whether you can cover and get attention.
No, I think you're right, man. We've learned our lessons, I think. The other issue, too, is, and sorry, Tim, but is on that supplemental schedule, we've got to be real careful on that. So I think I asked Carter about it. He indicated Gene and Scott are kind of going to get a first look at that and decide, because, of course, depending on what dollars actually come in and whether we're, you know, surplus level, what level of surplus, those kind of things, we've got to be real careful that this, I don't want to use the term used against us, but that they don't focus on some of these things and that if they do, that we make sure those things are things that we could live with being cut 10%. So we, and I think we got to be real careful about that supplemental schedule.
Yeah.
We'll go back a couple of slides on it. So we got two different issues. Sorry, Tony.
Mary, can you simplify this for me again? The exceptional items are for what, and the priority order is for the purpose of what? Can you simplify this slide for me, and Tony, explain it to me again?
Okay. What we do, we have a base amount of money that we call our baseline request,
mm-hmm.
and that's based on our 08 and our 09 appropriation budget, basically. So we lay that out to them, and then they approve that for 10 and 11. And basically, 100% of what we got in 08 and 09, they're going to allow us to budget in 10 and 11. So, but what they're saying is, we're going to allow you, when you do your request, to do 100%. But we want you to still, if you were going to take some reductions, tell us where you would take them and put them on the schedule over here and give us that and 10%. And so those items we will lay out, and those are reductions we'll put in priority order, and we'll lay that out on a schedule. The base, you know, just every state agency had, there's a limited amount in the state. So every state agency gets a set amount. And they tell us, we submit, you know, our base request, they look at that, and the legislative budget board says, yep, you're right, that's it, or here's what your base is. You can't grow that. We can't just say, okay, we had $400 million over the biennium, we're going to ask for $450 and put that in the request. They want us to show that separately. And then they discuss that during the hearings and in the session. You know, you'll talk with legislators, they'll have the Senate Finance Committee and the House Appropriation Committee, and we'll say, you know, we got our base request, thank you very much. We have these additional needs here, and we need funding for them. And we don't have dollar amounts tied to these yet, but we will have a dollar amount. So I'm just going to make this up. Say the equity package is $10 million, okay? So we'll say we want our first priority for this agency is salary equity. We want that before we get capital repair, before we ask for, and that's why I'm saying this is what the staff has pulled together as the priority, but we need the commission's support on that, you know, if you agree with the priority, because we'll need your help as we're dealing with the legislators, you know, in carrying these items to try to get us some additional funding above the base. So these are the items we're proposing, and again, there aren't dollar amounts there yet, but does that help?
Yes. Yeah, that helps enormously. Now, in terms of trying to go to somebody in the House or the Senate and saying we need more money, are you all looking at priorities in terms of trying to squeeze something out by listing them this way? For example, I would think that if I had to go to my representative or my senator, in dealing with land acquisition, I might want to put that at the bottom, but at the same time, it would be much easier for me to go to one of my partners and say, hey, call the senator and tell her we need more money to buy more land at the state park. And I could put more pressure as that was further down the list, versus the other way around. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, and I can speak to this, and of course, Chairman, you can as well, as far as commissioners' roles, but I think we are required, you know, by the rules to lay out kind of what our priority is for an agency, but these are all a priority for us.
Mm-hmm.
And we haven't, you know, we've got seven, so they're all, it's a manageable number that we can talk about.
That's what you were saying. That
so you can,
seven,
you can
work around and
sure,
change
can,
one from three to five versus, okay.
You can carry, yeah. You know, if you're dealing with a certain legislator that you know would be supportive of one of these, that would be the one you'd probably want to talk about and then highlight the others. But as an agency, we have to put them in a priority order. But, you know.
Yeah,
so,
it's a requirement. But you're making a good point, and you also, as you know, would find certain legislators are interested in certain things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, some of them could care less maybe about salary equity, but land acquisition for a park that's in their district, you know, they're very interested in.
Mm-hmm.
And then you try to, you know, you try to get all these people working together. so that you can, you know, you get all of these passed, or as many of them we can, and that's what we learned in this last session. One, you don't ask for too many, you know, because it just does confuse everybody. And then everybody kind of gets, well, I like number 6, and I like number 12, and then all of a sudden you can't get them together on 3 or 4 of them. And so I think this is a start. So I think what Mary's asking between now and August 20th, when we have to submit, I think it's August 20th. Please, if you have any feedback, either today or tomorrow, today or between now and then, please get it back to somebody, okay, whether it's Mary or Carter, and I think Scott, and of course, Gene will be working on it too. Because once you put these in writing and turn them in, you know, at some level they become reality in the sense of the focus of LBB, and then on past to the various committees we'll have to work with.
Perfect. Thank you.
You're welcome. And
can I just say that? I do appreciate everybody coming. This, I think, is the most commissioners I've seen, certainly since I've been on this commission, coming to this particular July meeting. I really appreciate you all coming because it makes a lot of difference. You know, I've asked all of you, and certainly part of my job, I think, is we go into January, is to ask you to help make sure we're educated. Well, even between now and January, but then after January, is as we put out these kinds of things, this is more and more what the staffs of these various committees will rely on, than their elected officials will rely on the staffs, you know, telling them this is makes sense or doesn't make sense, and here's why. And part of our job then will be also to educate and then, of course, carry and advocate once January comes, as I think. So I'm going to try to be better about asking you all to be involved and then, you know, creating initiatives. So, one, I want to thank you all for being here today. And then, secondly, between now and August 20th, don't hesitate to get with somebody, Carter, Mary, Gene, or Scott, relative to these items, okay, on these exceptional items. And then any input you may want to have on that number 3, their supplemental schedule, going back on your schedule. Can you go back? Can you go back, Mary?
Oh, yes, sir.
Okay.
Right here.
The actual verbiage. There you go. The third bullet point, supplemental schedule requires a 10% reduction, because we are going to have to be very careful about making sure that. And Scott and Gene are going to start working on this, or already have probably, that whatever we do submit, admittedly, they're calling it supplemental, which means it'll be attached to. But that doesn't mean, particularly if, let's say, all of a sudden Susan Combs and group say, well, you know, we thought we were going to have $10 billion surplus, but we're only going to have 6. You know, I don't know what the numbers are, and I don't think anybody does at this point. All of a sudden, then, this schedule may be used, okay, more and more. So we're going to have to be very careful about what we put on the schedule. So any ideas you may have on that,
too. Used regardless.
I'm sorry?
I think you need to assume that it's going to be used.
I think a good point. Maybe that's the best way to say it. Assume it is going to be used, so we're going to have to be very careful that that we could live with 10% right. cuts and whatever we put on that schedule. So I think we have two issues. What do we want as our priorities, okay, which is those exceptional items, on the next slide, and then going back, what's going to be on this schedule. Those are two things, and I'd ask all of you to please really seriously think about those. And if you have any questions, don't hesitate to call either.
And if I could just add respectfully here.
Sure.
It's actually due on the 20th, so we have
no,
to...
No, I know, you're right. Yeah. Good point. Yeah, you would like feedback, not on the 19th. Right?
Provide feedback, you know. That way, your feedback may not get incorporated.
Good point, Mary.
Think about these items, really, and get in touch with us by the end of the month.
Good point.
I mean,
point.
If there's anything that you really would like to see changed, if you could provide that to us by the end of the month, we would still have time to incorporate your suggestions into the actual document, because it's that thick. I mean, it's a big deal.
Yeah.
So,
and it is the document, though, that is used, and it is worked from then on. So, I mean, once it's submitted, you don't go take it back. It ends up being the document then gets used and worked from all the way through the legislature, all the way till next June of 2009, or whenever the legislature's up. So.
The other thing I was going to say, because this really is very critical, in that we be prepared before we start the new year. It would help me enormously if I could have a short statement on why number one was number one.
Okay.
A short executive summary, 3 or 4 sentences.
Okay.
And line number two was number two, and that would give me a much better understanding of why you all are thinking the way that you're thinking. And so if somebody asked, I would at least have
good point.
Some
absolutely.
Background.
Yep. Absolutely, and we can certainly do that. We can provide a small kind of synopsis for each one of these items and what all they encompass, you know, why we're approaching it the way we are and why we feel it's our, you know, foremost priority or our second most priority, et cetera, et cetera. So we absolutely can do that for you.
That's a good report. Yeah. We can get that to all of uh-huh. all the commissioners. Uh-huh. That's a good
absolutely.
Idea, Tom.
It's a very good idea.
That wraps up the actual PowerPoint presentation. There are a couple of things I do want to mention, though, before I actually close out my part of the commission meeting. Do want to mention we had a really good meeting yesterday with the Legislative Budget Board. There was some concern, as y'all are aware, in 2008 and 9, when we got all this exceptional item funding that they did approve for us for this session, they funded a lot of it with balances, that we had fund balances sitting in some of our accounts. Well, we spent quite a bit of that in 08 and 09, and when I started looking, or in the staff were looking into 10 and 11, we're running out of balances to support the base budget. And I was pretty concerned about that. And we talked with them yesterday, and they told us that we could actually, any balances that were short, you know, of funding that base, we can apply as a transfer of sporting goods sales tax. So we will be, our method of finance, you will see shift for 10 and 11 more so toward sporting goods sales tax than from our Fund 64 balances or the balances that we had remaining in 467.
What would that amount potentially be? In other words, what are we talking about?
We're talking about several million in balances. And we've looked at the balances themselves, and it's an estimate of 30 to 40 million.
Yeah.
And if we took the balances to zero, and of course we don't want to do that. We need to, because we're a revenue generating agency, we need to have some fund balance in there to support our peaks and valleys with expenses versus revenues coming in. So we're going to be doing some analysis on what would be an appropriate amount to hold in our fund balances and then versus, you know, what we would be short to fund. And I really, you know, these are very rough cuts. It's going to be somewhere $30 to $50 million over the biennium. I know that's a huge swing, but we're really looking at it right now.
The sporting goods tax is creating $100 million plus a year.
Yeah, 120. Yeah.
A year. One biennium. A year. But this is interesting. Mm-hmm. Comments now, and I'm not, because this is not what we've been told in the past, so you probably saw my reaction. I'm sorry?
And we get that in writing?
Well, the LBB is, if they're telling us that, that's fine. Now, remember, that it has to be appropriated. So, I mean, you got, you know, but what they're saying is now we can then state that that's where we're planning on getting these dollars relative to our presentation
relative
LBB.
To our direction.
And then what they'll then take to the Senate Finance Committee and the House Appropriations.
Yeah.
Now, of course, then it has to be appropriated and those kind of things, but... See, before you kind of had this cap, and they said you couldn't use it, and then you know you're going to find it elsewhere, wherever that may be. We had balances before, but I know Gene had warned me a couple of years ago. He was worried about it was only a matter of time before those balances were going to be gone. So.
Yeah. What was the appropriation cap in the last session?
On the sporting goods tax, 32.
They upped it pretty dramatically, if I remember. What had it been the previous biennium? Do you remember?
Well, it was capped at $32 million before.
Yeah, it's been 32.
Added, but they hadn't been appropriated.
We added more sporting goods sales tax in this biennium.
Yeah, we got more than we had
we
been
did
getting.
Got more, we did get more than we had before.
Yeah, confusing. The cap can be whatever number they, let's say, and then they appropriate accordingly. Now, remember, they're taking in this much.
Exactly.
They capped it here, but we wouldn't even get the cap. We used to get 20 out of the 32. I can't remember my numbers.
We were taking it down to about $20 million in the years that we were reducing.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
We had taken it from the 32
down
to roughly 20.
20. Right.
Roughly 20.
But then with this new dialogue from the LBB, is that alluding to the case that we may get closer to the 32 or we may get above the 32?
We're above.
Theoretically, yes. Yeah, legislature has the right to do whatever they want to do. Yeah.
We're above it now.
We've kind of never been encouraged to do this before.
This is kind of exciting.
Really, Gene McCarty, Deputy Executive Director for Administration, really this is the first step of implementing HB 12, which really HB 12 lifted the cap. However, what they did, in while they did lift the cap in HB 12, they went ahead and appropriated fund balances out of these other accounts before they actually appropriated
that we already had
any additional sporting goods sales tax. Okay, so those fund balances are now gone, and they're telling us, okay, we're into the second phase of this process of implementing HB 12, which is in 11 and in 10 and 11, we will begin to replace those fund balances with additional sporting goods sales tax.
Okay, so they're in effect, and there's no net gain.
There's no net gain to our budget. It's a method of finance, which is really a net gain because we were burning balances that were not going to sustain us for very long.
Right. So the worry was that, you know, if we couldn't get this process continued, then, yeah, then you'd have to take cut. Okay. There's no, they'd say, you know, the argument would be there's no money.
Right.
Help me on where are, and I know it's a kind of an aside, but maybe, Gene, you can answer because I haven't asked it. I think we got everybody appointed to that Sporting Goods Tax Committee.
Yes,
from
sir.
Both sides, or from yes, the three groups, speakers, Lieutenant House. Governor and Governor. Have they met? Is it where
they,
is it?
They have not met, but that was, I think, the good sign from what we saw yesterday.
Okay.
Is that they're kind of wait for us to turn in our LAR.
And work backwards, man.
They're going to work backwards on it, okay. Which is okay. That's good. At least we're working. At least we're
yeah,
working.
No, that's right. Well, I'm okay, and I guess I can understand it from their point.
Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha. So after August 20th, we may have a committee meeting then of that group.
Yes, sir.
Maybe sometime in September, October, going into the legislature.
Yes, sir.
Any other items?
I just want to mention one other quick thing. You will notice in the back of your binder there is a strategic plan, a copy of our strategic plan, the natural agenda, which that is the plan that we actually ended up submitting. So that's just your copy. Mm-hmm. Thought we would put that in your binder to take home with you.
Yep.
And that does conclude my presentation. So.
Yeah, but now this was, you submitted it this year, but it actually is a continuum of what we've been using since, is
it,
that correct?
It covers 2000. We do it, every 2 years you do a strategic
right.
plan that covers 5 years. So it kind of picks up some of the old and picks up some new. So this strategic plan covers 2009 to 2013.
That's what I'm saying.
So
but it's a rolling type of strategic plan.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, it is. So next session, you know, two more years, we'll do one that'll start from 11 and go through
right.
15.
Okay.
And Mayor, I just want to encourage everybody to take a look at it. Julie Horsley on Mary's team did an exceptional job putting that together.
It's excellent.
A really good assimilation of what we're doing in the agency and what we're looking at vis-a-vis priorities ahead. So if you have a chance, please do take a look at that. Yeah.
Mary, you did a great job.
Thank you,
Mary.
Yeah.
Very good.
Very Thank
good.
You, Mary.
Appreciate your hard work on this.
Thank you.
Is this the exciting times now, Mary, if we go forward and fight through the legislature. Yeah, what I admire you all doing it every 2 years. Not every, I mean, it's ongoing, but then every 2 years you really got to ramp up. You just put everything aside for about 6 months.
We're running pretty hard.
I know.
Right now. Yeah. I mentioned the team behind me, and the budget team, and myself. We're all putting in a lot of time.
I know you are. I appreciate it.
Yeah, to get ramped up and ready for the upcoming session. Appreciate your comments.
Yeah, Mary, thanks.
Thank you.
And Lance, thank you for taking on, you know, that you showed up, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, good.